Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the network for social justice, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. On Tuesday night, five Democratic presidential candidates held their first debate, hosted by CNN. The major news organizations promptly declared one candidate the winner, even though every major poll conducted after the debate showed viewers picked a different candidate as their winner by huge margins. On our Media Watch report today, we'll discuss the reason behind this blatant media distortion, and here's a hint, it's all about the money. Locally here in San Diego, hear why the Fair Political Practices Commission has told Supervisor Bill Horn that he must recuse himself from voting on a major development project in his district, and Horn's contentious response. From Sacramento, as the legislative session has ended, we'll have news about actions taken by Governor Jerry Brown on many important issues, including proposed reforms of the California Public Utilities Commission, privacy legislation aimed at stopping electronic surveillance of citizens by our government, a bill to restrict antibiotics in livestock feed, another to ban a discriminatory name for sports teams, as well as bills addressing criminal justice issues, guns on college campuses, and immigrant rights. Find out which measures he signed and which ones he vetoed on today's show. Then on Destination East County, hear about some major events coming up across our region, from a fall festival in La Mesa and an international jousting competition this weekend in Poway, to a haunted amusement park, trunk or treat in El Cajon, and other Halloween-themed events, as well as plays, concerts, and much more. On the second half of our show today, our newsmaker interview is with Martin Eder, the founder of KNSJ Radio and the head of Activist San Diego, owner of this radio station. He'll tell us about some exciting updates in programming, including new shows and a vision for the future, as well as a Halloween happening to benefit KNSJ and how you can get involved to support community media or beyond the airways. And finally, on our Crime Beat report, Liz Alper has news about a home invasion robbery in the college area by robbers disguised with Halloween masks. We'll have all these stories today and more, so be sure to stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. This is Miriam Raftery with a Media Watch report on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice. After the Democratic presidential candidate debate Wednesday, which was hosted by CNN, all major polls, including CNN's own poll, showed Bernie Sanders the winner by wide margins. And yet, post-debate coverage by CNN and all other major media almost unanimously declared Hillary Clinton the winner. No matter what your party or your political preference, this sort of blatant media manipulation should disturb you. Equally disturbing to advocates of a free press, many pro-Sanders comments or those questioning the network's impartiality were repeatedly removed off of CNN's website stories on the debate. Why? The fact that CNN's owner, Time Warner, is one of Clinton's largest campaign donors appears to have influenced the news organization to skew its coverage and favor its corporate parent's preferred candidate. Other media that has given large sums to Clinton's campaign or to the Clinton Foundation similarly ignored poll results and declared her the winner. While each candidate had some shining moments as well as occasional awkward instances, the evidence that media distorted what actual voters think is indisputable. CNN partnered with Facebook to sponsor the debate, which featured five Democrats: Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, the two frontrunners, Virginia Senator Jim Webb, former Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee, and former Massachusetts Governor Martin O'Malley also participated. Immediately after the debate, a CNN poll found 81% of viewers thought Sanders had won. A CNN Facebook poll, no longer findable on the CNN website, by the way, at one point had Sanders on top with 75% of the vote and Clinton with 18%. O'Malley and Webb had 3% each and Chafee had just 1%. And yet, CNN's post-debate coverage included articles titled "Hillary Clinton's Big Night on the Debate Stage" and "Best of Hillary Clinton from the Dem Debate." There was no best of Bernie Sanders. When viewers complained about the obvious distortion in coverage compared to polls, CNN started deleting critical comments, leading new commenters to compare the tactics to Russia, as Media Equalizer reported. The CNN Facebook poll was not an anomaly. We Googled CNN Democratic debate poll, and we checked every single one that we could find. Polls by both liberal and conservative media all had Sanders winning the debate easily, although the polls varied in the amounts. Most polls put Clinton second, though some, at sites with many conservative readers, had Webb, a pro-gun, pro-coal, and nuclear Democrat, ahead of Clinton. Granted, online polls are not scientific, and they do exclude people who don't have internet access, though that's a shrinking number of voters nowadays. But the sheer volume of polls, as well as a look at who voters were looking up on Google after the debate, are compelling and seemingly unanimous in their outcomes as far as who the winner was. Some polls remain open as we tape this, and as of Thursday, here are the results. Time magazine poll showed Sanders on top with 59%, Clinton 12%. U.S. News had a live blog poll that put Sanders at a whopping 82% and Clinton at 12%. Google Consumer Surveys poll, conducted for IJ Reviews, which was founded by a past advisor to ex-Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney, found Sanders up with over 43% of the vote, 15 points ahead of Clinton. Fox 5 in San Diego had Sanders at an enormous 78.7% lead. Google Trends also found Sanders won as the most Googled candidate after the debate in all 50 states. Sanders was also the most discussed candidate on Facebook, followed by Clinton and then Webb, U.S. News reports. By the way, we could not find a single poll that put Clinton in the lead, nor any of the other contenders for that matter, and yet the major corporate-owned media blithely fawned over Clinton's victory. Here are a few more examples. An ABC News story stated, "Frontrunner Hillary Clinton reasserted herself as the dominant force in the race. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders played to his base, but likely didn't do much to expand it." CBS News reported, "Many political experts declared Hillary the winner of Tuesday night's presidential debate." Forbes graded the debate with letters, giving Clinton an A- and putting her at the top of the class. The National Journal claimed Clinton was the better debater, but it was far from glowing coverage, also calling her dishonest. The New York Times called Clinton's showing at the debate the best moment of her campaign. So why so much distortion of the facts? Follow the money. According to the Pulitzer Prize-winning fact-check site PolitiFact, Time Warner, which owns CNN, is the seventh largest donor to Clinton's campaign. Her top donors also include primarily banks and corporations, the very same institutions Sanders has railed against and seeks to regulate and break up. Tellingly, two of her opponents, O'Malley and Sanders, criticized Clinton in the debate over her reticence to breaking up big banks, and that footage was not shown on the major networks. Sanders' major donors are predominantly labor, education, and civil justice interests, by the way. Besides direct donations by some media outlets to the Clinton campaign, Politico in May reported on media donations to the Clinton Foundation. Those include NBC, Viacom, which owns CBS, the CEO of Fox News, Rupert Murdoch, a top ABC anchor, the New York Times, the Washington Post, Reuters News Service, an anchor for PBS, and many more, amounting to millions of dollars in media money flowing into the Clinton coffers. The media also skewed coverage in which clips it did and did not play. Most networks aired footage of Sanders saying he's sick of hearing about Clinton's, quote, damn emails, unquote. But how many saw him talk about wanting to support small and medium-sized businesses while holding large corporations accountable, or heard him discuss specifically how he would fund his ambitious plans to provide free college, free health care, and expand Social Security by raising taxes on corporations and the wealthiest Americans? Could the fact that some of those big corporations own media outlets account for that bias? Interestingly, the only candidate who raised the issue of media bias was, you guessed it, Sanders. Maybe the media moguls want to make sure that no light is shined on that troubling issue. So who really did win the debate? Decide for yourself. You can view video of the full debate or read the entire transcript at East County Magazine's website at eastcountymagazine.org in our politics section.
This is Leon Thompson with a report on a new twist in a controversial land development project. Our report is based on an investigation by Voice of San Diego. County Supervisor Bill Horn won't be allowed to vote on Lilac Hills Ranch, the massive housing project proposal in Valley Center, about a mile from property that Horn owns. After Voice of San Diego launched an investigation into whether Horn has a conflict of interest, Horn asked the state's Fair Political Practices Commission for input. The FPPC concluded that Horn has a conflict of interest and must recuse himself. That's because the project, if approved, would have a, quote, reasonably foreseeable material financial effect on Horn's property, which is zoned agricultural, but that's set to expire in 10 years, about the time the Lilac Hills project would be completed. Lilac Hills, proposed by developer Accretive Investments, would build 1,700 homes as well as retail and more in a largely rural area in Valley Center. But the land is only zoned for 100 homes, so Accretive needs approval from supervisors to waive that limit, or as one county planner put it, blow a hole in the county's general plan. Horn's 34-acre property is near the edge of the sprawling planned community, so his land value could go up if Lilac Hills is built, suburbanizing the region and making his property a ripe target for development, the FPPC determined in ruling that Horn must recuse himself due to a conflict of interest. Horn called the decision outrageous in a statement emailed to his constituents claiming that they had been disenfranchised after voting him into office 6 times. Silencing their vote, Supervisor Horn contends, is not democracy. He called the decision a clear case of state overreach and a dangerous affront to our Constitution. Moreover, Horn claims, under this precedent, every vote can be questioned and dismissed. I've often said the government that governs closest to the people governs best. With this decision, that will no longer be possible. I will abstain with great trepidation and grave concern over the chipping away at the foundation of what we as Americans believe. Horn's recusal could be a major blow to Lilac Hills Ranch. He was widely expected to support the project and has received hefty campaign contributions from the developer. One of Horn's former staffers is the project's primary lobbyist. Without Horn's support, it would only take 2 county supervisors to vote the project down. However, Randy Goodson, CEO of Accretive Investments, has issued a statement saying the company remains confident that the Board of Supervisors will approve the project.
This is Miriam Raftery with an update on the story you just heard. After that recording, Supervisor Bill Horn informed supervisors that he plans to appeal the Fair Political Practice Commission's ruling, requiring him to recuse himself. Moreover, after consultation with County Council, the county has decided to back Horn's appeal and seek clarification on when supervisors must recuse themselves on land use issues. Voice of San Diego reports that a county spokesman told them clarity is needed to ensure no voters in any of the 5 county districts are disenfranchised by the new FPPC rules. The Lilac Hills Ranch project was scheduled for a vote by supervisors on October 28th, but that has been postponed pending a response from the FPPC. However, an FPPC representative told Voice of San Diego that there is no formal appeals process and that absent significant new information, their decision won't change simply because Horn does not like the outcome.
Governor Jerry Brown has vetoed 6 bills that sought to reform the California Public Utilities Commission, or CPUC, which has been the subject of 2 criminal investigations amid mounting evidence of corrupt practices. In his veto statement, the governor called the reforms too costly and complicated, stating, quote, "Unfortunately, taken together, there are various technical and conflicting issues that make the over 50 proposed reforms unworkable. Some prudent prioritization is needed," unquote. The governor's sister, Kathleen Brown, joined the board of directors for Sempra Energy, SDG&E's parent corporation, in 2013. One of the measures vetoed was Senate Bill 660, authored by Senator Mark Leno and co-authored by Senator Ben Hueso, whose district includes San Diego and the southern portion of East County. In a press statement, Senator Hueso said he is disappointed in the veto, adding, quote, "Without SB 660, the agency has little incentive to work toward a culture of openness and accountability." He pledged to work with authors of the bill and stakeholders to propose new reforms in 2016. Senator Leno issued this statement in a press release, quote, "Ratepayers have already paid dearly for California's failure to act, and the status quo is simply unacceptable. We have an important opportunity to shut the door on improper communications and cozy relationships between regulators and utility executives. Revelations of backroom deals and breaches of transparency have undermined public trust and weakened public safety," unquote. Leno added that his reform efforts will continue. Among other things, SB 660 would have banned backdoor communications between CPUC commissioners and the utilities they regulate. Public records searches have revealed that after the deadly San Bruno pipeline explosion in 2010 leveled a neighborhood and killed 8 people, the CPUC was forced to release about 65,000 communications documents that revealed backdoor communications with Pacific Gas and Electric, PG&E. The records showed the CPUC advised the utility how to handle controversies and discussed helping to choose a judge in a rate-setting hearing. This apparent violation of both the law and public trust led to criminal probes that remain ongoing by the California Attorney General's Office, and the U.S. Department of Justice are also looking into the agency's relationship with utilities. Similarly, California Edison has admitted to secret meetings with CPUC regulators in Poland to talk about a settlement of costs for shutting down the San Onofre nuclear power plants, issues that are supposed to be discussed only in public meetings. Consumer groups have asked the CPUC to set aside a settlement deal that sticks ratepayers with much of that cost and to punish Edison for its actions, but thus far the CPUC has not done so. The bill addressed what critics have called a governance problem within the CPUC. The bill would have set new rules and penalties to curb improper communications between the commission and the companies it regulates. It would also have created stronger standards for determining when a commissioner should be disqualified from a case due to bias. The legislation was sponsored by TURN, the Utility Reform Network. Mark Toney, executive director of TURN, observes, "Hundreds of TURN supporters wrote to Governor Brown to urge him to sign the bill. Since the fatal San Bruno gas pipeline explosion 5 years ago, consumers have been shocked by the commission's laxity and corruption. This bill would have brought about the change the public wants," unquote. SB 660 would have implemented many of the recommendations contained in a June report commissioned by the CPUC itself and conducted by a law firm. The CPUC's own report concluded that ex parte communications within the agency unfairly bias key decisions and should be banned. Bills vetoed by Governor Brown would also have allowed groups or individuals to sue the CPUC in Superior Court for failing to turn over records under California Public Records Act requests. But Governor Brown contends that that would result in, quote, "increased litigation and likely delay commission decision-making," unquote. Brown also axed a proposal to create a position similar to an inspector general to oversee the utilities commission, answering to an outside agency that the commission does not control. Locally, the CPUC has come under fire for its handling of lawsuits over the 2007 wildfires, allowing a former SDG&E attorney to serve as an administrative law judge and blocking efforts by fire survivors' attorneys to depose SDG&E executives. San Diego attorney Mike Aguirre has filed numerous public records requests and is currently suing both the CPUC and Edison to reverse the San Onofre settlement and adopt one that is fairer to ratepayers. The San Diego Union-Tribune reports that Aguirre drew this conclusion after the governor's actions, saying, quote, "Jerry Brown's vetoes show he is helping, not stopping, the dishonest practices known to the people of California," unquote. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barrena.
In a win for privacy advocates, Governor Jerry Brown has signed a bill that prohibits law enforcement from accessing people's private personal electronic data in most circumstances unless they first obtain a warrant or a court order. The law specifically outlaws the warrantless use of Stingray devices, which are used by police in secret to track smartphone data, including locations, in real time. Nicole Ortez with the American Civil Liberties Union, or ACLU, in California praises the governor for outlawing what she calls warrantless government snooping in our digital information, adding, "This is a landmark win for digital privacy and all Californians. We hope this is a model for the rest of the nation in protecting our digital privacy rights." Reporting for East County Magazine, this is Miriam Raftery.
Governor Jerry Brown has signed the nation's strictest standard for use of antibiotics in livestock. The new law addresses concerns raised by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which estimates 2 million people in the U.S. are infected with drug-resistant bacteria and 23,000 die each year of these superbugs. Public health officials believe that the overuse of antibiotics in cattle, pigs, and other livestock and meat in dairy production endangers the public health. The bill bans the routine use of antibiotics in feed to fatten up farm animals. Antibiotics needed to treat an ill animal must be prescribed by a veterinarian under the new law. Some major restaurants and retailers such as Chipotle, McDonald's, and Whole Foods have already taken steps to stop products from sources that overuse antibiotics. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is DeVario Bell.
On Sunday, Governor Jerry Brown signed Assembly Bill 30, the Redskin Bill, into law. The bill bans the use of the term Redskin as a team name or mascot for high schools. The signing comes after the U.S. Patent Office ruled in June of 2014 that the NFL's Washington Redskins name was, quote, "disparaging to Native Americans," and that the team's trademarks on the name must be discontinued. The bill will let schools keep jerseys with the name on them as long as they were purchased before 2017 and as long as the school changes its name, mascot, or nickname. Governor Brown also vetoed a bill that would ban naming public buildings after Confederate personalities. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Liz Alpert.
Governor Brown has taken action on numerous crime-related bills, as well as a measure banning concealed guns on college campuses. The governor vetoed 11 crime-related measures, objecting to the fact that each bill would, quote, criminalize conduct that is already proscribed. Among the bills rejected was one that would have made it a felony to possess date rape drugs with intent to commit a sexual assault. A week after a gunman killed 9 people at a college in Oregon, Brown signed into law a measure banning the carrying of concealed weapons on all school and university campuses in California, except when school officials have granted permission or if the carrier is retired from law enforcement. The bill was backed by the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence, which believes the measure could save lives. It was opposed by the National Rifle Association, which contends it raises Second Amendment concerns by restricting rights of law-abiding, licensed, and trained people to carry a firearm for self-defense. Brown also took action on 2 measures that aimed to protect immigrants with low-level drug offenses from deportation, signing one and vetoing the other. California law allows anyone arrested for a minor drug offense, such as smoking marijuana, to plead guilty, complete voluntary drug treatment, and then have the conviction removed off their record. But under federal law, that guilty plea still counts as a conviction that can lead to mandatory deportation for an immigrant, even a legal immigrant with a green card. Assembly Bill 1351 would have eliminated the requirement to plead guilty before entering drug treatment. But Governor Brown vetoed that measure, saying it, quote, goes too far. However, he signed a companion bill, AB 1352, that allows people who complete drug treatment to withdraw their guilty pleas if they face deportation or a job loss. But clearing a record can take over a year, so immigrants will still be vulnerable to deportation during that waiting period. Human Rights Watch has criticized the governor, insisting that both bills were needed to give immigrants the same protections that other Californians already have. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Ed Barrena.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, networking for social justice.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This week's Destination East County include the Enchanted Garden Gala, Tournament of the Phoenix and Festival of History, Haunted Fest on Main Street, and Trick or Treat Dog Show.
Plus, we'll have a preview of coming attractions, including a desert festival in Borrego Springs, Marshall Scotty's Haunted Amusement Park, and the opening of the 6th season of the Visionary Dance Theater. Visionary Dance Theater opens its 6th season with a full dance concert called Shades at the Quee Sun Studio on Center Drive in La Mesa on October 16th and 17th. You're invited to join Visionary Dance Theater for an evening of dance filled with thoughtful awareness and celebration.
Cajon Classic Cruise continues through October 28th in downtown El Cajon and features an amazing array of cars and different themes each Wednesday from 5 to 8 p.m. with free admission. October 21st will be the best of the best, and on October 28th, the season ends with a trunk or treat. For details, see CajonClassicCruise.org.
La Mesa's Chamber of Commerce will present Fall Fest, a new festival to be held October 16th and 17th at Grossmont Center in La Mesa. This event features country and rock and roll musical artists, including Brent Payne, winner of the Best Country Song of the Year award at the Hollywood Music Awards in 2012 for his hit single, Now and Forever. He's nominated again this year for his song, Midnight Prayer. A beer garden, food, and more are also part of the fall festivities at this event. For more information on Fall Fest, visit lamesachamber.net.
A free concert at Mission Trails Regional Park on Sunday, October 18th at 3 p.m. will feature Yale Strom, an artist in residence at San Diego State University in the Jewish Studies program. A skilled violinist who also has a band called the Hot Pastrami, in which he is accompanied by an accordion player, his primary focus is klezmer, Jewish music, and Roma Gypsy music. In addition to performing, Strom enjoys teaching his audience about the history and development of klezmer and Roma music. For more information, visit mtrp.org.
The Water Conservation Garden at Cuyamaca College will once again be transformed into the Enchanted Garden during a gala event on October 17th. Wander a magical path through illuminated gardens as you enjoy ethereal music, delicious garden-inspired fare, and captivating entertainment. This year's theme is Water More Precious Than Gold. The event includes a silent auction, seated outdoor dinner, and live program. Proceeds will support the garden's award-winning youth education program, as well as programs and services educating residents of all ages about conserving our most precious natural resource, water. The Water Conservation Garden is on the campus of Cuyamaca College in Rancho San Diego. For more information, go to thegarden.org/gala.
An international jousting competition, lifestyle camps from Rome to the Renaissance, and squires' equestrian skills are all part of the colorful lineup at the Tournament of the Phoenix and Festival of History. The event takes place Saturday, October 17th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Poway Rodeo Grounds in Poway. The event also features live music, foods, demonstrations and displays, exhibitors, shopping, games, and activities. For more information or tickets, visit tournamentofthephoenix.com. Now for a preview of coming attractions.
Get your costume ready for the 4th Annual Haunt Fest on Main in downtown El Cajon on October 23rd from 5 until 10 p.m. Admission is free, but some rides will charge a nominal fee. This fun, family-friendly, Halloween-themed event features live bands, a haunted car show, a variety of local vendors, and food available for purchase. Visit the special children's craft and game booths, face painting, outdoor movies, and enjoy carnival rides. You can also dress in your favorite costume and enter the costume contest for a chance to win prizes. For more information, check out hauntfest.org.
The 50th Annual Borrego Days Desert Festival will be held October 23rd through 25th. This year's theme is Those Were the Days. Borrego Days Desert Festival has a long history of welcoming in the desert's peak season, enticing locals to come together after a long, hot summer and to welcome snowbirds back for a warm desert winter. On Saturday, festival goers will line the main streets for the popular parade that includes a flyover, equestrians, marching bands, floats, clowns, dancers, and more. There will also be live entertainment, arts and crafts, food vendors, children activities, a beer and beverage garden, carnival fun zone, and inflatable water slides, obstacle course, bull ride, and more. For more details, you can visit borregodays.com.
East County's only haunted trail debuts this Halloween season at the abandoned Marshall Scotty's Amusement Park in El Cajon on Ridge Hill Road at Lake Jennings exit off of Highway 8. Rumored to be haunted by past park employees, Marshall Scary Scotty's Scare Trail will be open from October 28th to the 31st from 6 until 11 p.m. This year, see the bumper car carnage. Try to stay in one piece through the slaughter trail and the haunted park offices. Visit the frightening Ferris wheel and don't forget to brace yourself as you walk through the remains of the death coaster. Sponsored by Saving Horses, Inc., children under 12 are free, but the trail is not recommended for children under 10.
The Alpine Stagecoach Lions Club is holding a trick-or-treat dog show on Saturday, October 24th at Summers Pass Farms in Flint Springs on Old Highway 80. The dog show runs from 1 to 4 p.m. with a costume contest, prizes and trophies, food and fun. Plus, you can visit your pumpkin patch to pick your jack-o'-lantern. All proceeds from this event go directly to purchase a seeing eye dog for someone in need. For details, see alpinelions.org.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, 89.1 FM, Descanso, recording in our studio at the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. My very special guest today is Martin Eder. Martin is the head of KNSJ and Activist San Diego, the parent organization that owns the radio station. Martin, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
The station now has been on the air for over 2 years, and I know there's been a lot of really exciting changes. Can you bring our listeners up to speed on what some of those are?
We're really proud of the kind of alternative news, views, talk shows that are on the air, the dialogue, the subject matter that really is not heard any other place on the radio dial here in San Diego. So in particular, having brought Amy Goodman, she continues to be one of the most listened to shows. We were the largest city in the United States without Amy Goodman. She's on other 400 others. And having Tom Hartman on, a very intelligent talk radio, not a scream in your face or hate radio.
Yeah, very thoughtful kind of programming that a lot of people I know really enjoy listening to. I certainly
do. Yes, and NV1, the Native American News Network, that's on live 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. That can be a call-in show. It's a live show.
We have 19 Native American tribes here in San Diego County, more than any other county in America, so I know that's very much appreciated. I've heard from a number of listeners who say they really enjoy listening to
It's a perspective you don't get. And while some of it is far afield for many of our listeners, you get an insight into another part of America, one of those untold voices, those unheard voices, rather. And so in that sense, it's very exciting to be able to bring this as an offering to people in San Diego so that we can get closer to each other and understand each other's realities and that reality, which is different as it's lived by other communities, other ethnicities here in the U.S.
Absolutely. You also have some environmental programming.
Yeah, Bioneers. Bioneers is just a marvelous, one of the most best produced series that there are. The Bioneers Conference gathers people from around the world and focuses on sustainability. It's happening up in Santa Rosa here in October. We also have Sierra Club Radio, which is a national feed that we get and focuses on more than just what the Sierra Club is doing. We have more environmental programs than all the rest of the radio stations in San Diego combined, and proud of that. Radio Eco Shock is one of those programs brand new to this community. So it's wonderful. And somewhat on the environmental thing is Big Picture Science talks a lot about global issues and global science, but of course many of those relate to climate change and the total environment and sustainability and alternative fuels, alternative ways to run the economy other than kind of corporate capitalism on steroids.
It's so important when so many other stations are really not talking about issues like climate change or global warming, or worse, maybe spreading untrue information about it, you know, debunking what's very clear science really on it with 99% of the world's climate scientists
agreeing. Indeed, yes. Yeah.
In addition to these nationally syndicated programs, you're really growing the homegrown local programming mm-hmm. that's really special to the San Diego region and some of them that are special to the East County region as well. You've also got things like Talk of the Town that Mike Aguirre is hosting now.
Yeah. So we have 10 local shows. Talk of the Town, certainly the live show that's on every Saturday from 11 to 12. People are welcome mm-hmm. to call in.
And that's addressing what, local and national issues?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. It's a variety. We had just recently somebody who has been creating jobs in urban centers and taking some of the best about what is offered as a resource for inner city and seeing that rather than as a deficit, as a resource and what can be offered.
Very good.
Issues of discrimination and culture mm-hmm. and policing, mm-hmm. all of those.
Yeah.
It's wide open. And Mike Aguirre is a wonderfully balanced and intelligent voice.
Former
San Diego. He's been a very prickly politician, but he is ever so diplomatic on the radio and wonderful,
Mike, of course,
interesting.
The former San Diego City Attorney, of course.
And, yes.
Lately he's been taking on some big guns, SDG&E and the California Public Utilities Commission.
You know, the biggest cases in San Diego having to do with the highest utility rates in the country mm-hmm. and the sweetheart deals, the in-bed relationship between the PUC, public utilities companies, and the companies themselves,
and the regulators
and the companies in bed with each other.
And the consequences of that go far beyond sticking ratepayers with higher rates, which is bad enough, but we're talking about a really dangerous situation with the stored nuclear wastes in barrels that are only meant to last 25 years up here at San Onofre.
3 million pounds right along the tsunami coast there, right on a earthquake
Crazy.
Fault and right along Highway 5. And Mike, to his credit, has taken this on. KNSJ went down and did a live programming from the city and county building when the Board of Supervisors was taking up the issue.
Yes.
And Mike was saying, you've got to get involved with this. You don't sit on the sidelines of something this big and this important. This could close down the economy of the country. Nobody wants to live that close. And the recent revelations that there is danger down at the beach from radioactivity right off the shores there. You know, one of the most beautiful beaches, that trestles and all. Mm-hmm. People are being exposed to nuclear waste.
Yeah, on the freeway in the cities nearby. One thing I really like about KNSJ is how it empowers people to take action. Of course, it's nonprofit and nonpartisan, but by educating people about what's happening and where, if they have an opinion and they want to get mm-hmm. involved, you know, and on either side of an issue for mm-hmm. that matter, they can get out and where they can go, what they can do to make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons we provide. Activist San Diego says we're an information, communication, and mobilization hub. Mm-hmm. And that without the right information, people will not get involved. But when they find out what's going on right in their own backyard, everybody is affected, for example, by higher utility rates and the way in which that collusion between the regulators and the companies. And those rates are due to go up even more.
Right. Well, now they want to charge us for the wildfire costs, the wildfire settlement costs.
So I do want to say something about solar energy, before we get back to some of the other programs.
Sure.
And that is one of the exciting collaborations that we have is with a solar company, Solaire.
Mm-hmm.
They are a locally owned business and are underwriting on our station. But in addition to that, for everybody who gets in on getting solar panels onto their homes between now and about January, they can lock in the rates and grandfather them in for their property, for their home, on a forever basis.
Nice.
And locked into the two-tier system rather than the two-tier system, which is going to discriminate against people who are very
correct. And also the federal
sustainable.
Tax credit.
The
maybe
federal
going away
tax
at the
credits
end of the
going
year.
Everything that should not be happening to solar. And so this is the most incredible time to get involved. The prices have never been lower. The product has never been better. And the incentives in the long run, everybody will be saving who gets solar will be not only saving the environment, but saving money, and they're giving a $750 donation to KNSJ and its programming.
Is that information at the KNSJ.org website?
You can definitely find it there. We have a similar relationship with Solaire, but we encourage people to call us directly to find out how to do this, and that number is 619-283-1100. That's 283-1100. So if you are interested, and everybody, I think, has thought about solar, but it's always something you can do down the line. You don't want to be on the bleeding edge of the technology. But with the rate changes that are coming up and what's called the net metering, this is the time to get that done. Net metering for those people who have heard the term, but it means that at the end of the year, there's an assessment is made. How much power did you generate? How much did you use? And you take the net of that and you pay. That's what you're going to be paying. That is going away, and the utilities will be selling you electricity at two or three times the rate at which they're buying. Mm. So they will be using your rooftop to generate electricity and sell it to other people at a higher rate than they're paying you.
So basically, you want to get in before the end of this year if you want
absolutely
to avoid.
Absolutely. Do it now. Get estimates from others, but we think Solaire or Sungevity are two of the very best, and we can tell you why U.S. panels, not just because they're made here, but because they have the least degeneration of over year and will last a longer 25-year guarantee and all of that. So that's something we can do for the environment, you can do for community radio, and you can do for yourselves.
Beautiful. Back to the programming for a minute. Of course, we've talked a lot about the serious issues and the political issues and so forth, but you also have some fun stuff. You have comedy shows, music. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, the show that has up until recently been called You Missed, All the News That You Missed with Chris Klauber and Diane.
They're great.
Jean and a wonderful crew. This is the most professionally done show. It is done live. Every Monday night they record two shows. It is worth seeing. It is beautiful the way it's all put together in front of a live audience. It's now called Laugh in Your Face.
Oh,
and it is a very satirical look at all of the social and political contradictions that exist out there, the politicians.
No shortage of material for that show.
Oh, my goodness. You know, Donald Trump, bless his heart, provides great material, but there is so much more than, you know, in the theater or the absurd sometimes of what's going on in Congress and political spheres and the unusual ways in which people run their life and why they run it. All part of that. And Chris Klauber does an amazing job
He used to do the comedy tour bus at the zoo and was just hysterical back then. And he still does that.
Keeps the animals entertained and all of the guests as well. And so that show is on KNSJ two times a week. And you can see it live sometimes at the Space Bar in La Mesa, but it's been traveling around to other venues. That show, again, is called Laugh in Your Face. It is not to be missed.
Now, I understand you're really ramping up music, and you've been doing some events, haven't you, centered around music now?
So we have as a dream, as a goal, as a destination to have more local music on than all the rest of the radio stations in San Diego County combined.
Wonderful.
And we're probably very close there because it's a fairly low bar. How many stations are really playing local music, especially now that KPRI just went over and got new.
They were known for being kind of the alternative music station in San Diego, other than, of course, KNSJ doing that as well. But that was sort of their forte, their niche, as well as some talk. I know I heard discussions of global warming on there, for example, not very long ago on their morning show, but mostly it was music. What does that say about the state of radio? They're becoming, I understand, a Christian music station, assuming the FCC approves this buyout. And there's certainly no shortage of Christian music stations, but there's sure not very much original local music being played anymore.
Yeah, not to take anything away from those formats or people who love that format, but there is a lack of diversity on the radio spectrum in San Diego, particularly because we share all of the frequencies with Tijuana. So we have less space available. We don't have good college radio stations that many other communities have. Mm-hmm. For instance, it would be paying local music, alternative music, or the political dialogue, the spectrum on the political dialogue here, the social dialogue is very limited by comparison to what it could be. And San Diego needs a KNSJ, needs those alternatives, mm-hmm. needs a community-based station. We are a station that anybody can come knocking on the door, get involved, and develop themselves and develop a message, their voice within that community. We're looking to potentially partner with KBLK, an online African-American led radio station for some of their programming, firing line and dialogue, and potentially gospel music and mm-hmm. other programming like that hasn't found a space.
Are you looking at all to perhaps pick up any of the shows that were on KPRI? Are you
We'd love to. That would be a wonderful thing as we had worked to bring KLSD people and mm-hmm. those listeners into our listenership.
From our KPRI.
By admission, our signal is not the best at this point and won't be for a couple of years at least.
But it's improving. It's got a lot better than the early days.
We are doing everything possible within the technical limitations that the FCC has set out for us. And over time, KPBS used to, well, now it's not heard that much in East County. So we hope to pick up.
La Jolla, their transmitter out there. So.
Yes, move it up, and they're shining up the Gold Coast and up the Newport Beach.
But you know, in its early days, I understand it didn't have the strongest signal either. This is a process.
Oh yeah, all of these community radio stations and KSDS out of City College was hardly heard outside of campus until just a couple of years ago. So we are wide open to musicians, local people to get mm-hmm. involved in radio like the you at East County Magazine here, willing to take on people, train them to be citizen journalists, train them to be tech people, get into the communications industry.
You can get trained
industry.
And you can win awards also. Some of them have gone on to do that. So it can be a really good experience in terms of if you're looking to get into media and get experience, a community radio station could be an excellent way to do that. What about underwriting and sponsorships, Martin? I know that a lot of people probably have no idea how expensive it is to, you know, pay the transmitter fees and the rent and everything and keep on the air. But if people who are listening want to help support a particular type of programming, maybe they want to help get their favorite show from KPRI on the air over here on KNSJ, or maybe they want to support, you know, more news programming or more comedy or whatever it is, what is the process for that? If people want to do underwriting, you know, who should they talk to help sustain these kind of shows?
We really want to be intelligent dialogue, free of a lot of hyperbole and high on information content, and get the debates out there, not just beat people over the head with one point of view, but get very interesting, provocative topics on the air, and we hope to be doing some more live events. But in terms of the funding, and this is always a sticky issue, mm-hmm. as a non-profit, non-commercial, listener-supported radio mm-hmm. station, we depend on the listeners for 95% of our funds. That is a steep hill to climb. Right now, we're basically, you know, $5,000 a month is what it's taken to keep us going. So we need everybody, whether it's $2 a month, but give us a call at 619-283-1100 and talk to us about the ways in terms of underwriting any business, any nonprofit organization, any individual that would like to get it. We can make it extremely affordable compared to other radio stations at 1/50th the price, because we are listener supported nonprofit and we are there to get information out. So we are developing some underwriting with a well-known supplement company, mm-hmm. with Mission Trails Regional Park, with the San Diego Repertory Theater, with a foundation that does economic development projects and the like.
Yeah, I know that underwriting, this is really an opportunity for organizations or companies to get in on the ground floor at a station that's growing, and, you know, who knows, a few years from now, this may be the next KPBS out here. It may be a much more widely listened to station, but it also builds loyalty. You know, I know, having founded East County Magazine, which is also nonprofit media, readers really appreciate that. They like to see when they go into a business or a nonprofit organization, you know, that they're helping to support community media. So you really can't buy that kind of loyalty through just advertising and commercial media, but showing that you're underwriting, that you support the mission of nonprofit community-oriented media is a really important thing, and it's a great thing for organizations to do. And as you mentioned, of course, for individuals to go on and become a member of KNSJ with a sustaining pledge, and then also get invitations to all the events.
And we actually have a lot of gifts that people can get, everything mm-hmm. from theater tickets Ooh. To brand new books. And for those donating a couple $100 or more, free time in a wonderful Palomar Mountain cabin, three-bedroom cabin in the Pines,
nice.
Up at 5,000 feet. And these premiums are available for donors. We have some private lessons for yoga, and we got some massage for people who donate in those upper ranks. Yeah. And most important is the great feeling you get as people feel good about donating to East County Magazine and mm-hmm. to expose those news stories, is to keep this public media going.
Yeah.
That sense that you are part of a greater community that wants to get an alternative message out.
Yeah.
And to keep the airwaves free from the monopolistic nature yeah. and homogenous kind of big box radio that exists out there.
And, you know, sometimes the stories that we start on this little station go national. I haven't told you this yet, Martin, but I got a call this morning when I was on the way out the door over here. Remember last month or so, we ran the story about the Chaldean immigrants, refugees,
who
were being
very much.
Held prisoner down here at the Otay Detention
mm-hmm.
facility. These are Christians, and some of them are being deported now, and mm-hmm. and even after they fled, I mean, beheadings mm-hmm. and things, genocide. And I got a call, of all places, from Fox News in New York, the national Fox News, and they want to pick up and run that story now that everything's in the news about the president raising the refugee cap. But it's only talking about Syrian refugees. And they said, well, we saw your story, and we're wondering what's happening with these Iraqi. Why are they not letting in the Iraqi Christian refugees? So I think they're going to kick that one up to the national level. Probably some other stations will pick it up from there, I would
Good.
Think.
Good. Absolutely. That's exactly what the role of alternative media. I was involved right out of college during the Vietnam War and read stuff and brought forward things on Agent Orange when people were looking like we were Looney Tunes. What are you talking about? You know, that we're going to expose our troops to these kind of chemicals, and that Agent Orange is causing birth defects all along the Mekong River and those kinds of things. Well, turns out these kinds of stories, they were picked up by alternative media at first, and now are everyday stories that are seen in the Veterans Administration hospitals across the country as a known fact.
Yeah, well, we've certainly seen, like, Marco Rabo, that we've interviewed on this show on the same issue. He's been interviewed by CNN and some other national media that has picked up on it. And we were the very first ones to interview him about what was happening to the Iraqi Christians. So that's just one of many issues. I could list dozens more, and that's just our show alone. And imagine an entire radio network like this, where we're free of commercial influences, basically. We can report on anything that we believe is important and get those important minority voices out there that so often just aren't heard, whether that's the poor or the homeless or refugee issue or, you know, fire victims or whatever it might be, local Black Lives Matter, all these different things.
Yeah, it's the creative side of all of our listeners to be able to get some of their stories out, the untold stories.
Very good.
And for all the rest to support this kind of journalism, this opening up of the media, this little slice of the spectrum that we have, and use it as a people-powered medium. And we're always glad and proud to work in conjunction with East County Magazine.
Beautiful.
It's doing the good things out here. And it's an example of why these institutions are needed. So we'd very much please pick up the phone, call 619-283-1100, 283-1100. And just contact us. Find out how to get involved. We do have fundraisers and things coming up. We've got a wonderful thing at the World Beat Center, a politically oriented satire costume contest taking place at the World Beat on Friday the 30th. We're going to have Donald Trump look-alike things in a Donald Trump piñata for those people who have a little bit of rage.
That sounds great.
We're going to have Planned Parenthood supporters and climate change crusader award costume and things like that, just to spice it up and to bring a little bit of relevance and meaningfulness to having a good time.
I want to encourage everybody, if you haven't already done so, to go to knsj.org. If you didn't catch all those phone numbers, you can get all that information there. And I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Do you have any final words on the East County Magazine show on KNSJ?
Help us gain listeners. If you're listening to this, you're finding something here that's holding your interest, get people to download the TuneIn Radio app.
Yeah.
It is so easy. I carry it around in my shirt pocket as I'm cleaning the house. Or it's easier than a house radio. You can take it with you in your car and get a little transmitter to your speaker system or whatever. It is accessible radio, and we want listeners, we want people to go in there, press a little follow button, get involved in community radio, support community radio and media justice here in San Diego, including East County Magazine.
Yeah, we're your community station. We represent your interests, not the special interests of KNSJ.
That.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us on the East County Magazine show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
This is Liz Albert with a Crime Beat report on KNSJ. Three men broke into a home near San Diego State Tuesday night. The men, two of them armed, broke into a home on Mary Lane Drive by 55th Street after 11:30 p.m. The door was already unlocked. All three were wearing Halloween masks. One man was armed with a shotgun and another with a pistol, according to San Diego police officer Dino Delametrios, KUSI reports. Out of six residents in the home, the suspects only targeted one, a 25-year-old man, according to Delametrios. The suspects fled in a dark SUV before police arrived. The suspects were described as black men, wearing Halloween masks and red or black hooded sweatshirts. Two were around 5 feet 10 inches, and the other was around 6 feet 2 inches tall. One of the suspects was possibly wearing a clown mask, according to Delametrios.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technicians, Leon Thompson and Ed Barena, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.